Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. Today is part two of my two-part interview with Paul Wooderson. He's the author of a book called The Memoirs of One Man's Journey Through Time. It's basically his memoir of how the Lord impacted his life. He's had several supernatural experiences with the Lord, and we're going to start off with him telling us about the one that impacted him the most. He could barely walk, and I can relate to that because of the accident that I had. He could barely walk. But then one day, by faith, he decided he's just going to take a couple of steps by faith, and the Lord surrounded him. It sounded like the Apostle Paul's Damascus experience, this bright light. Matter of fact, I'm just going to let Paul share this with you. So let's jump right back into the interview right now with Paul Wooderson.
Warm light was shining down upon me and around me. Mm-hmm. And I knew I was in the direct presence of the Lord. It was such a moving experience that even though there were tears of joy, they were so heavy flowing down my face that I could hardly even see to walk. But anyway, after that happened, realizing, you know, I really could walk, I rejoiced by walking around the parking lot a couple of times for 5 years.
Amen. Amen.
And it really changed me. When I say it changed me, I had been a professing Christian since I was a young man, young kid, you know. But something happened that day that, in a sense, was even greater than when I actually made my profession of faith now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It may not add up in a lot of people's yep. minds, mm-hmm. but the Lord literally, just like 180 degrees, changed who I am on the inside. I became a different man. Fears that I used to have, I'd all go over him. Now, I'm not saying I never fear about anything, but the change was so radical, even some people knew something had happened. They knew I was different.
Yeah, amen.
And my friend, it's just as real today
mm-hmm.
as it was in 2011.
Amen.
I use the expression a lot that the Lord is working in me. You know, I'm not just knowledgeable about the fact his presence within me, but I know he's in me and he's at work, he's doing things.
Amen.
And I still get kind of cold chill as I think about that
because
Amen. It's so real to me. You know, here it is, 2020.
Yeah.
And 9 years later, I guess. But I like to share with people who feel like, hey, I can't change your pastor. I mean, you've had this happen to you many times. When I have sought to share my faith with somebody, they say, oh, I've been too bad. I've done this. I've done this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's no way that, you know, God can save me. Well, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
There's hope for anybody.
That's right.
And I, reverting to a church I pastored in Peoria, Illinois area, I remember a man in that church who, his wife, who was a Christian and a part of the church, asked me, you know, when I first went there, Brother Paul, would you please pray for my husband? And he was a tough type of guy, you know, mm-hmm. a manly type person, and he didn't go to church. He didn't think he needed God or anything. Well, I tell you what, I got to know him, became a friend, little by little, he opened up and let me share with him spiritual things. And it was during a revival meeting, and in the Baptist churches, we offer an invitation where people can come forward, and if they want to, you know, profess faith in Christ or something that God's doing in their life, they would have the opportunity.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or during this one particular revival meeting, Herschel came forward, and I'm going to tell you, that big burly man, I thought he broke every bone in my ribs. He squeezed me so hard. He was so overwhelmed by the experience. Anyway, yeah. He made a profession of faith that night in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, amen.
Now, mind you, if, as I recall, the wife told me it's like 20 years, 20-some years people have been witnessing to him. And I guess some just gave up and thought there was just no way.
Right.
Well,
yep.
Hey, he changed Herschel.
Yeah, and, amen. Well, you know, I've seen some studies. I remember when I was at Bible school, I can't remember the exact numbers, but it's something like the average Christian has to hear the gospel, or the average person has to hear the gospel something like 97 times or something like that before they accept Christ as their Savior. So when you're witnessing to someone, and that's average. There are some people, you know, it might be 300 times. There are some people do it the first time, but you know, that's the average is 97 to 100 or something like that. But you don't know where you're at on that line. I mean, you could be number 7 or you could be number 97.
You know? You might be the sower, but not the reaper.
That's right. Exactly.
Earn the right to share my faith with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, let's take Herschel, for example. First time I visited him in his home, I felt tension. He, I don't think, was too appreciative that I was there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my goal was just to build a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And over a long period of time, you know, we became good friends and things opened up. But I would, you know, I'd say like, well, now, Herschel, if it's okay with you, I'd like to share with you what Jesus means to me. Well, he got to that point,
mm-hmm.
and we had a lot of discussions, and maybe that's not the right method to use. That's the way
it worked. So, some people are different, you know.
I've said many times, and I have a hunch you feel the same way. Lord may be able to use me to reach a particular person, whereas somebody else can't.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah,
and,
that's right.
But you know, that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course it was quite, a satisfying feeling when, you know, finally this fella, you know, gave his life to Christ.
Mm-hmm. I remember hearing a story. This is, oh gosh, probably 10 years ago that I heard this testimony. And it was along the same lines, this big biker, burly, you know, type person, right? And,
uh-huh.
and people would be witnessing to him, and he, you know, didn't want anything to do with him, you know, just would cuss at him and all that.
Yeah.
And his 5-year-old daughter got him born again because she was, had, you know, Sunday school, you know, summer, what do they call it, the vacation Bible school, you know, this, all that, and they're talking about Jesus and all this stuff, right? Well, he was holding her one day, and she said, Daddy, I'm going to miss you. And he goes, what do you mean, miss me? I'm not going anywhere. She goes, well, you won't be going to heaven, and that's where me and Mommy are going to be, and I'm going to miss you because you won't be there. And just those words was enough that it broke that shell, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And his testimony was, you know, she didn't lead him to the Lord, but she broke the hardness of his heart, you know. So you never know. You never know who's going to be the one. You know, he'd been witnessed to. He knew what she was talking about, but he kept resisting. But his own little 5-year-old daughter was what the Lord used to break the hardness of his heart. So you can never tell, you know. Let's talk about your book. Now, why did you feel the need to write your story out in a book?
Well, I don't know if I can really explain that, except I was so convicted that I had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say this. I learned a lot about myself in writing the book. Isn't that amazing? There were a lot of times I'd sit here at the keyboard and you'll be typing on the computer. Tears of joy, I guess you say, would just literally flow down my face as I'd be talking about my life story, and it would hit me something that I had never thought about. You know, it might not have been a good thing about myself. It might have been a good thing. But I learned a tremendous amount about my life. And as I went on and on in the book, I realized more and more, hey, you know, these things happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
There's others. They need to hear it because it might resonate in their minds.
Right.
And might mean something to them. It was a phenomenal experience. I learned things about my dad, believe it or not. He'd been deceased since 1969.
Wow. Yeah.
He went and lived to be 48 years old.
Mm.
But I learned things in the sense that I had a greater insight as to who my father was. And even though I respected him and loved him, I respected him and loved him even more because I realized that he set, and my mother set the example for me. And I remember calling my baby brother, whom he doesn't like me say baby, I'll say my youngest brother. I called him one day and I was in tears, and I said to Steve, I said over the telephone, Steve, it just hit me. We had a great father.
Mm.
And Steve responded, yes. He had gone through a lot of suffering. But the way he dealt with it obviously made you know that there was somebody working in him that made him able to deal with it in, you know, a positive way. And his story may have been part of it, but mostly I realized that as I went on and on and on, hey, these things here, they're going to relate to certain people.
Mm-hmm.
And
so how's your book laid out? How is your book laid out?
Well, the story starts with my grandparents, and simply because my grandparents, you know, they had their influence on my life too. And then it went into a little bit of my, you know, when mom and dad were young and, you know, before and after they got married. But probably the biggest story was in the third chapter. It was about my mom and me, or myself. When I was 3 months old, my mother found me in the crib. My body, my face was dark. There was a trickle of blood came out of my mouth, and I wasn't breathing. Of course, it put her in shock. She told me later, she said, but even though she thought she was going to faint, the sound of a chirping bird was in her head. And she said, I think that kept me conscious.
Mm.
She ran downstairs in the apartment that was had earned the name of Preacher's Paradise to an apartment where there was a nurse. And, you know, she handed me over to the nurse and she stuck her hand in my mouth and momentarily said, oh, Margaret, she said, he's breathing. Call the doctor. Back in those days, this was 1944 in November of 44. doctors came to the home.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happened, and this is maybe an example of the providence of God, the doctor was just down the street in a home of one of his patients.
Mm.
He got to Preacher Paradise pretty quick.
Yeah.
And he examined me and told Mom, said, get him to the hospital. We didn't have a car, so she had to call the cab. And Mom didn't know it at the time, but the doctor asked the nurse to go with my mother and for her to hold me, because he was almost positive I was going to be dead before I even got to the hospital.
Mm.
I got to the hospital, the emergency room doctor examined me and said to my mother, Margaret, I'm sorry. There is no hope for your son. He's going to die, and it's going to be soon. They admitted me into the hospital and put me in a room, expecting me to die at any time. It was like a death vigil started. Well, obviously, I survived.
Spoiler alert, right?
But nobody knows what happened. No doctor has been able.
What was the issue? What was wrong?
That's just it. They don't know.
Wow.
They couldn't make a diagnosis. And they told Mom, there is no medicine that can help your son. Now, I grew up a frail child.
Mm.
But the fact that I made it past that point is a miracle within itself.
Yeah. Amen.
And I have had another death, near-death experience later on in life. But isn't it amazing?
I mean,
it was zero chances. The doctor said absolutely there was no hope.
Yep.
And
amen.
That within itself might have made it worth writing a book.
Yeah.
As far as somebody reading it.
Yeah. Amen.
Of course, it was a traumatic time for my parents. Well, I kind of hate to let too much out of the bag.
Yeah.
My parents, all they could do was pray. My friend, I didn't know the content of that prayer until about the time my dad died.
Mm.
And
amen.
I can get emotional thinking about it because of that prayer had a lot to do.
Yeah, amen.
I became a later.
Amen. So you talk about all that. What is the story? What is the point you want your readers to take from reading the book?
Well, I'll get back to hope.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the most adverse circumstance, there's hope. In my life, from that experience, December 30, 2011, I have such a confidence that his spirit's indwelling me and at work in my life.
Amen.
That, you know, for the most part, outward circumstances doesn't affect me.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean I don't have problems.
Right.
But with his help, I'm able to meet him in such a way that usually I'm very calm. Because I just know, you know, that the Lord's three spirits within me working.
Yeah.
And that in him, I believe with all my heart, he can do anything. He's got the power to change That's life. Right. He's got the power to do anything he decides to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't think anybody can understand God because he's so vast.
Yeah, that's true.
And we're you know, we're limited in our knowledge and understanding.
Amen.
But he showed me that in a lot of ways. I don't know how we're doing on time, but I might share something with you. That
sure, go ahead.
When I was minister of music and education and also associate pastor of a church in the St. Louis area, it was on a Wednesday. I was getting ready to close down the office and locked the door into the church temporarily, even though later that evening we would have prayer services. Well, as I walked down the steps from where my office was located, I saw a lady, young lady, in the lobby. And we made eye contact, and she asked me if, the senior pastor was there. And I said, no. But I said, maybe I could help you. Do you want to come to my office? She did. And she fell apart. Her husband wanted a divorce, and she didn't want it. And, she was just so emotional. I just sat and listened to her for a while, but she needed somebody to listen to her. And I said, at a certain point, I said, I can't guarantee you that you and your husband, can mend things, because the two of you have to both be willing to do that. Right. But I can tell you this, there's somebody who loves you, will always love you. He'll never turn his back on you. As I'd like to share with you. And I shared with her, I've heard of it, the four spiritual laws, which a Campus Crusade for Christ actually produced that. And when it came to the point of, her making a decision whether to accept Christ or not, she wanted to do it. Well, the change in her life was unbelievable. From sadness to happiness. Mm. I didn't know until later on that she was so excited about her newfound faith that she went out in the community and told them about what happened to her in her life that night. And when the senior pastor found out, he forgot the appointment and what happened, my conversation with her. I'll never forget, he was a kind of a stoic figure, but he was so excited, he was jumping up and down. But that woman's life literally
turned
out. Amen. Tell me the Lord can't change you.
That's right. Amen.
He changed her.
Amen.
And that was a really exciting thing, and that's in the book.
Praise the Lord.
But there's so many things that we don't have time to talk about.
Right. Amen. Well, is your book available on Amazon?
Yes.
All right.
And I am in the process of, I think I'm going to re-edit it and maybe do a few other things. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's on Amazon. It's on Westbow Press. It's the press that actually printed the book.
All right.
It's on other things too. You can get it on.
All right. Well, Paul, if someone wanted to get in touch with you to, ask a question or maybe do an interview like this, how can they do that? How can someone get in touch with you?
Well, either my email or my cell phone. Either one's fine.
I wouldn't use your cell phone because this will be, you might get those 2 a.m. phone calls.
Well, my email address.
All right. What's that?
Yeah, that's Walnut Ave. 1234 at comcast.net. Walnut, the nut.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Have the abbreviation AVE 1234 at comcast.net. And I'm happy to talk to anybody.
Amen.
Wants to talk to me. And the other thing the Lord convicted me about and was that he wants me to get it. The book in the hands of as many people as possible.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a gory trip I'm talking about.
Right, right.
I'm talking about he is the one that convicted me that I needed to do it and that I need to find ways, where people have the opportunity. I'm getting to be known. I have 5,000 contacts around the globe now.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
I write a weekly blog that's related to the Bible. It's a it's a brief message and on memoirs of one man, blogspot.com.
What's the blog site again?
The blog site, again, is memoirsofoneman.blogspot, you know, blogspot.com.
Okay. I'll put that that down on the show notes as well for you.
I send a message out. In fact, I sent one out a day before yesterday.
No, amen.
Yesterday is when I sent it. Yeah.
Amen. So, folks, this obviously is a great book. I mean, just the short time we've been talking with Paul, you hear just some of the stories that are in there. And it, I mean, this is a book that's going to inspire people when they read it. I mean, it details a magnificent story of just one man's lifelong walk and how God can turn things around. I mean, you need to get a copy of this book. You need to add it to your reading list. Just go down below, right, click the link, get it done right now while you're thinking about it. Because, you know, if you put it off, well, I'll do it later, chances are you're going to forget. Just do it right now while we're talking, even before the end of this program. Click the link, order your copy of the book. Paul, thank you for coming on the program today and sharing your story. I appreciate it, man.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. So for Paul Wooderson and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing FaithCasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with FaithCasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a FaithCaster. FaithCasters, your voice, your platform, your success.